we're going to have an interesting month this month in April. We've got a number of things that are happening. Next week is Gideon Sunday. And for Gideon Sunday, we're going to get the report from the Gideons about the scriptures that they distribute around the world, what they accomplished through their distribution, and we participate in that. We've got five Gideons here at the church, which is amazing for a church this size, and Sharon Harry just became the president of the Women's Auxiliary for the area, so that's a great thing, and then we support them through some of our financial giving, and if you don't know it, Gideons International are an association of Christian businessmen and professionals and their wives, dedicating to telling people about Jesus by sharing their faith and by distributing scriptures and New Testaments. Most of us probably know them because they put scriptures in hotel rooms. You know, you've been to a hotel room, you open the drawer, there's a thing that says placed by the Gideons. But they do so much more than that. They do it in hotel rooms, they do it in hospitals, they do it in schools, in prisons, to our military personnel around the world. And you may not be aware of this, but right now there's a big push in our country to make it illegal for Gideons to place Bibles in our hotel rooms. So we're fighting that battle right now. Next week, after we hear from them, and we're going to talk about our involvement with them, because again, we are involved through our giving, we're going to hear from them. And then the following week is Compassion Sunday. Compassion Sunday is Compassion International is a child advocacy ministry that places people, adults, of compassion with children who are caught in the cycle of poverty. And the ministry, they say in their literature, the ministry releases children from spiritual, economic, social, and physical poverty. And the goal of Compassion International is for the child to become a responsible, fulfilled adult. And the main purpose is they pair caring Christians with children around the world. Last I checked here at Gateway, we had 64 children we were sponsoring through different families for Compassion. And we're going to give you a chance to hear a little bit about the ministry. We're going to get you a chance to get involved if you're not involved in Compassion International. We'll have a table out there with children that you can look at, and if you want to sign up, you can sign up. Now, to move us along that direction, this morning, what we're going to do is I want to talk about the most basic question of the Christian life. It's a question that most Christians really can't answer. You know, we've heard the Bible stories. Most of us who have grown up in church, you know, we know the story of David and Goliath and Jonah and the great fish. And, you know, we know the story of Adam and Eve and Noah. We know about Judas. We know about John the Baptizer. We even know about Jesus. But unfortunately, in all of our knowledge, sometimes there's a gap. And the gap that we have is, for the most part, we've been left clueless about the most important question of all. Now, the Bible hasn't left us clueless. The Bible tells us what that question is. But for the most part, in our education, in our way that we approach things, we've been left clueless in this area. And the most important question of all is, what is the ultimate purpose of the Christian life? What is the ultimate purpose of the Christian life? What did God have in mind for you when he sent his son Jesus to die for you? Now, if I ask you that question and I, you know, paused and said, okay, I'm going to give you a chance to answer the question, I bet you there would probably be as many different answers in this room as there are people in this room. Some of the answers would probably look like this. Well, our ultimate purpose is to glorify God. Or maybe it would be to share our faith and witness with people. Or it might be to have fellowship with God. You know, we just kind of need to get together on this. To worship God. That's a good one. You know, we kind of saw going on there. Or it might be to minister to people who have needs. And that's one of the things that sometimes people see the church as an extra bank for people to make sure that, you know, if I don't have the money that I need to get my payment done by the end of the week, they're going to be there right there for me. And some people see us as a distribution center for the poor. And, you know, we do help. We have benevolent funds and we do try to help people. But, you know, you've got to understand, this is not our ultimate purpose. I got a call a while back from a guy who said, I happened to pick up the phone, and he said, is this the pastor? And I said, yes, it is. He said, okay. He said, take down this list. And he gave me a whole grocery list. I mean, a whole grocery list. I couldn't cut in on him. He kept going and going and going and going and going. And he ended by saying, and after you go and buy all of that stuff for me, you can deliver it to this address. And it wasn't even in our town. It was in a couple of cities over. You can even deliver it here. And I said, I'm not going to do that. He said, you're the church. You're supposed to help people. I said, we do help people. We're here to help you spiritually. He said, click. You know, a lot of people have the wrong idea of what the church is about. Most of us have the idea that, you know, that Jesus came to save us, to give us eternal life and take us safely to heaven. Hallelujah. Can't wait for that to happen. In the meantime, you know, we're kind of left on our own here. And perhaps, you know, these are good answers, and there are some truth in some of these answers, but they're only a part of the master plan that God has for you. And God told us the reason why Jesus died for us, and it's not simply to give us that free trip to heaven, to make us good people. It's not for that. So much more than that. Here's what God says his purpose for us is. For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, those who accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, and all along he knew who would, should become like his Son, so that his Son would be the first with many brothers. So, God's purpose is to make those of us who claim to be Christians to become just like Jesus, nothing less. Your goal, God's goal for you and for me, is to transform us into the image of Christ. It's not to make us great Bible students. It's not to make us people who can quote all of the books and whole books of the Bible. You know, I got it memorized. I memorized the book of James, and I can give you that by heart. It's not to be a religious person who does all the right things and knows all of the right things. It's to make you just like Jesus. Think of it this way. Suppose you need a new car. So, you know, you do some research and you decide, you know, you want to get really hip, and so you go and you buy, you know, this beauty, and you've been saving for it. You've got money in the bank. You've got cash for it, and so you go and you buy, go to the dealership, and you find the car that you want, because you researched it online and all that. You find the car that you want. He brings it out. He shows it to you. You get to test drive it. You love this vehicle, and so now you lay down the cash, and he says, okay, hold on, wait here. I'm going to go count your money, and then get all the stuff in order for you. So he goes, he lays down the cash, he goes off, and then he tells you, he comes back, he says, congratulations, I'm going to give you the title of the vehicle. If you'll go out to this bay here, we're going to get the car ready for you, and we'll deliver it to you. And you're sitting there waiting, excited about it, and all of a sudden, this comes out. Salesperson says, I hope you like your new purchase. Now, you're going to say, no, wait a minute. Stop. What's with this? I bought a car. You're giving me spare parts. You wouldn't settle for that, would you? No. And you shouldn't settle for it. You paid for the whole thing. You deserve the whole thing. And in the same way, the Apostle Paul tells us, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. He paid for the whole you. He deserves the whole you. He paid for the whole you. He doesn't expect you to just serve him on weekends. He doesn't expect you to do coffee with Jesus like we saw at the beginning of the service. And Peter tells us what that price was. He says, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, But you were bought with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and defect. God paid a premium price for you and for me. And he deserves all of you and all of me. He paid a premium price. Doesn't that give him the right to make us into all that we were created to be? Total price. Total you. Now, our mission here at Gateway, you know that we say this all the time. Our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And I just got to be honest with you. We can't do that. We can't. That mission is an impossible mission. Okay? All we can do is provide environments and encourage you and equip you to pursue intimacy with God, communion with fellow believers, community with fellow believers, and with influence with those who don't believe. So we can set the environments, but it's up to you to make the set. Nobody can change you. Only God working in you and through you can do that. And it's God working in us and through us that causes us to grow in grace and in our relationship with Christ. And he does it generally in three phases. Now, you need to understand these phases in order to understand exactly how God is at work. He does it, first of all, in the past, and he's doing it right now in the present, and eventually he's going to complete it in the future. And we need to understand God's total plan so that we can understand where we are right now. You know, you can't get to a destination if you don't really know where you are at the moment. So, he starts with conversion. 2 Corinthians 5:7. God's master plan is to make you just like Jesus. He began that master plan the moment you invited Jesus into your life. And at that moment, God placed within you a new power to make you just like Jesus. Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, a new has come. You see, when a person gives his heart and life to Christ, when they come to him by faith for salvation, they aren't the same old person with a new start. Our text tells us that they are a brand new creation. That's God's promise. Now, that doesn't mean that if you've done some sins, you know, that all of a sudden they're just going to disappear, because there are consequences. We talked about this last week when we talked about the thing about sowing and reaping. If you sow your wild oats, you're going to reap wild oats. But in God's eyes, he makes you a brand new creation. We talk about justification, and we say justification means just as if I've never sinned. And in God's eyes, that's what he does. But there are still consequences. Never, 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 never take sin lightly. Because if two things happen, it's going to affect you and it's going to affect other people. It just is. But here's God's promise to us. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, God, who began that work in you the moment you said yes to Christ, promises us that he is going to make sure you reach your final destiny. You don't have to worry about that. It is his power in you, not your power, to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and remain faithful to him. But here's the rub, because in the present, what we do is we face conflict. We face conflict. Jesus reminds us, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So in the present is where we battle all of the things that kind of come in and try to distract us from God's ultimate purpose. It's where Satan comes in, and it's the old life versus the new life. And even though you're a new creation with a brand new start, yet the old you still remains, and there is conflict. And that's why sometimes you feel conflicted in the Christian life. You seem to be doing so well. You know this experience. You are doing so well, and then bam, suddenly you're down on your face. You blew it. you say, I can't believe I did that again. Satan knows why Jesus died. Satan knows that he died to make you just like Jesus. And Satan knows that when you committed yourself to Christ, accepting his gift of grace, he, Satan, lost your soul forever. So his goal now is to keep us from being just like Jesus, thus making Jesus' death for us a failure in terms of his ultimate goal, to make us like Jesus. Because if he can keep you from being like Jesus, he can minimize your impact and my impact on other people. So, here's the battle. It's like we have two dogs living inside of us, battling for dominance. Which one is going to be the alpha male, the old nature or the new nature? You've heard this story. I know you've heard this story because I've used this story before, but it's a good one. A number of years ago, there was an Eskimo, and when he needed money, he would take his dogs, two of his dogs, a black dog and a white dog, and he would carry them into town. And when he would carry them into town, he would take bets on which one would win in a fight. Now, I'm not advocating dog fighting, so don't, you know, misunderstand this. It's just an illustration. And every week, he would go into town, and every week, you know, the money that he laid down on the dog, that would be the dog that would win. And the folks couldn't figure it out. There was no rhyme or reason for it. It wasn't like, you know, one week the white dog won and the next week the black dog won. It was always different. And the old man always knew, the people never did. He was always taking their money. Finally, one guy goes to him, young man goes to him, and he asked the man, he said, how do you do this? How did you train these dogs so well? And you always know which one is going to win. And what's your signal to them to go ahead and win? And the old man just smiled. And he said, I didn't train them. He said, well, then how do you know which one is going to win? And the old man said, well, it's the one I feed that wins. Inside of you are two natures. The old, fallen, sin nature. And the new nature that has been placed in you. A new creation. Both of them are there. The one that wins is the one you feed. And that's where we have conflict today. Do you realize, I hate this about myself, but I've just realized it. According to Romans chapter 6, sin has no power over the believer. Sin has no power over me. Sin has no power over you. You know, we love to excuse ourselves and say, you know, I just kind of messed up. It just kind of overpowered me. Here I go. It's not true. According to Romans chapter 6, sin has no power over the new creation. It has no power over you. Therefore, every time I sin, I have to face the fact that what I am saying at that point is, I love this sin more than I love my Savior at this point. It's a choice that we make. It's terrible to think of it that way. The great promise of Scripture is that even in this process, as far away as sometimes we seem to be getting, someday, perhaps sooner than we think, God's plan for you and God's plan for me is going to be completed. First John 3:2 says, dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's coming a day when everyone who claims the name of Christ is going to be just like Jesus because of God's promise to us. What God started at conversion, he will complete in heaven. Nobody's going to be lost along the way. Scripture tells us in Romans 8 that those he justified, he also glorified. In other words, those he saved at conversion eventually are going to be made just like Jesus in heaven. And his ultimate purpose will then be fulfilled. Until then, however, you and I as Christians, every day should be becoming more like him, not less like him. And how do we become more like Jesus? John tells us we become like Jesus when we see him as he is, and we get to know him through prayer and Bible study and fellowship with other believers. The part of working out this completion in us is a cooperation with the Holy Spirit who indwells us. We call the process sanctification. Sanctification. That is a fancy way that says that God is working in us, in cooperation with us, to make us just like Jesus. And every person you meet and every experience you have is a part of God's master plan. Here's what Paul says earlier in that verse. And we know that in all things, God works to the good to those who love him, to those who have been called according to his purpose. And this is probably one of the most misunderstood and misapplied scripture of all of the Bible. Paul isn't saying to us that all things are good. He's not saying that, because not all things are good. There are some horrible things that we go through in life. So he's not saying that all things are good. He is saying that God can bring ultimate good out of all things, but he doesn't bring ultimate good out of all things for all people at all times. It is only for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And what's his purpose? What's his ultimate aim for us? To make us just like Jesus. And he uses everything that comes in our life to make us just like Jesus. You know, as I'm getting older, I'm seeing more and more people, friends of mine, who are leaving this life. And you know, one of the things that I've kind of come to the conclusion of is I think maybe this is God's way of opening my hand a little bit and stop clinging on to this life, because we weren't made for this life. We were made for eternity. And unfortunately, we cling and we hold. And sometimes God, through tragedies, he just kind of brings that to reality in our life. God's purpose for you, for me, is to make us just like Jesus. And the really unbelievable thing is this: you and me can be like Jesus in a way that nobody else can be. Let that sink in. You and I can be like Jesus in a way that no one else can be. Becoming like Jesus doesn't mean that we give up our uniqueness. It doesn't mean that we give up our individuality. It means that we develop Christ-like characteristics in our lives. And when we develop those Christ-like characteristics in our lives, they're going to be different in every person because we're different. We're going to show them in different ways. We're going to display them in different ways. And we're going to, just in the way we express what Jesus is doing in our life, is going to be different. So I can be like Jesus in a way that you can never be like Jesus. And you can be like Jesus in a way that I could never be like Jesus. And here's the thing. Listen to what I'm about to say, because this is very important. If you miss God's plan for you, there's no one he can put in your place. There's no one he can put in. That's how important you are in God's plan. If you miss it, the picture will be incomplete. You are a vital piece of the puzzle that God is putting together. So don't think for a minute that you're unimportant, that God doesn't need you, that your talents aren't just, you know, I can't do what pastor does, and I can't do what this person does, and I'm just kind of what. Listen, every piece of the puzzle is vital. And if you miss it, there's no one that God can slip in to your place. Don't miss his plan for you. The best time to start right now. Because frankly, this is the only time you and I have control over. We can't change anything that we've done in the past. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. Not long after Jesus returned to heaven, as the message of his resurrection spread throughout the Roman Empire very rapidly, by the way, the message of his resurrection spread throughout the Roman world, it came to a place called Antioch. Okay, Antioch is right there on the Mediterranean rim. Came to a place called Antioch, and Antioch is where the followers of Christ were first called Christians. See, what happened is these followers of Christ had been dispersed by persecution. You know, God told them, go into all the world, and they didn't want to go. They just kind of wanted to stay and huddle. So God sent persecution to drive them out, to get them around the world. So they're driven out by persecution. God causes all things, even bad things, to work together for good. That's what he's talking about to those who love him. He scatters them by the persecution. They go out. They're in this place called Antioch. People are watching them. They're watching how they live. They're watching what they do. They're watching how they act. And they begin, as they're watching them, some of people are saying, you know, they remind me of that carpenter. What was his name? Oh, yeah, that Jewish carpenter, Jesus. They're acting like he said. They're acting like, you know, I saw them one time, and they're kind of acting like, hey, let's have some fun with them. Let's give them a nickname. Let's call them Christians. That's a good one. We'll call them Christians. See, they weren't impressed at first. Just like our world isn't impressed with Christians today. You know, we're accused of doing wrong things when we're doing the right thing. They face the same thing. So they call them Christians and this. And the word Christian means literally little Christ. You're trying to be a little Christ. Ha, we'll call you that. Christians never use that term for themselves. They use the term disciple. We'll call them little Christ. Or we might say it means like Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it be great if once again, the title Christian became to be understood to mean like Christ? That person who calls themselves a Christian, just like Jesus. That woman who calls herself a Christian, she's just like Jesus. Can you imagine how it would change you if you started living your life just like Jesus? Can you imagine the change it would have in the title Christian in our world? Can you imagine the change of relationships that there would be in your life if people started to see Christ in you? Can you imagine how it might change your family? Those broken relationships that you have. Can you imagine how it might change our community? How it might change our nation? How it might change our world? If we as Christ followers started to realize and live out God's master plan for us to become just like Jesus. If we were becoming just like Jesus, can you imagine the impact the title Christian would have in our world? It would stop being viewed as the negative thing that it's viewed as today. It would stop being viewed as another mere religion. Oh yeah, there's Islam and there's Buddhism and there's Christianity, and you don't want to be them because they kind of think they're the only ones going to heaven. And there's this and there's that, and there would be this change if we started to live as Jesus meant us to live, what he died to purchase for us, to make us just like himself. And it starts right here, right now, with you and with me. And we're going to do something a little bit different today. Our closing song is one. I'm going to ask the team to come on and make their way up here, because our closing song is one that we've done before. It's not a typical invitation song, but it reminds us of what we should be praying, what we should be doing, how we should be asking for God to come and lead us right now in the here and now. So as a team leads us, if you want to respond, you can. You can respond in your seat. But I'm telling you, God's ultimate goal for you is just not put it in your head. It's put it in your heart and make you and make me reflect the one we claim to love.
Please stand.
Wanna be a church where freedom reigns. Wanna be a people full of grace. Wanna be a shelter where the broken find their place. Wanna be a refuge for the weak. Wanna be a light for the world to see. Wanna be a love that breaks the walls and fills the streets. All are welcome. As we are, for our God is near every heart. Let your mercy rise, let your hope resound, let your love in our hearts be found. Let your grace run free, let your name.
That's our actually closing, but I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, this is a participation question. Okay, so I do expect you to respond, and I don't mean right now, right this moment. Okay, I mean I want you to respond right now, but the question is not, you know, okay, yeah, I want to do it right now. How many of you want to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Now, here's something you may not know. Can anyone tell me what makes heaven heaven? We're told in Scripture, by the way, that the thing that makes heaven heaven. You know what makes heaven heaven? Jesus told us the thing that makes heaven heaven is in heaven, God's will is done perfectly. That's what makes heaven, heaven. Do you realize that those of you who want to go to heaven, to the place where God's will is done perfectly, you can have a taste of heaven in this life by doing God's will purposely and letting him cause you to become just like Jesus. And if you'll do that, I guarantee you, heaven will come in the here and now. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you paid a full ransom price for us to give us new life. And Father, we pray. We ask your forgiveness for those times when we just kind of used it as a bus ticket to heaven. It's in our pocket. It's there. I'm gone. I'm glad I'm gone. But it's really not impacting me right now. And because it's not impacting me right now, it's not impacting anyone around us right now. And that's why so many people can just be out of church, because they've not seen Christians living as Christians, living up to our name to be like Jesus. God, help us, help me to allow you to fulfill your ultimate purpose. And may every day I be coming more like Jesus, not less like him. And may people see that and come to know the peace and the hope and the joy that being rightly related with the Father means. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.